They all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. Two small coins. Two small copper coins. What difference does it make? This poor widow throws in two small copper coins into this temple treasury 2,000 years ago, give or take. And we're still talking about it today. What difference does it make? I suppose you might ask the same question about yourself. What difference does it make what I do? What difference does it make if I go to church on Sunday morning? What difference does it make if I put in my 2 cents on Sunday morning? What difference does it make to the kingdom of God? Maybe I'm too old to make a difference. Maybe I'm too young to make a difference. Maybe I'm too sick to make a difference, or too busy, or too insignificant to make a difference to the kingdom of God. Really, what difference do I make to the kingdom of God? Well, the whole Gospel of Mark is concerned about the kingdom of God, that and who Jesus is. You see, the coming of the Son of God ushers in the kingdom of God, and the beginning of the reign and rule of God. In Mark chapter 1, the first time we hear words from Jesus, he says this: "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." That's Jesus' message. And as we've journeyed these past few months through the Gospel of Mark, with Jesus as he makes his way to Jerusalem, and as we draw closer to the end of the church year, maybe you've noticed a progression. Perhaps you remember Jesus calling those Pharisees to repentance. Over what? Over their teaching the doctrines of man as opposed to the doctrines of God. The commandments of men over the commandments of God. Being more worried about, as he says, man-made rules like the washing of cups than about honoring their father and mother and taking care of them in their old age. And then a few weeks ago, we saw the case of the young ruler. I'm sure you remember that one. At least he was interested in the commandments of God, claiming that he had kept them ever since his youth. If you remember, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." And he couldn't do that because he had great possessions. Compare that to the poor widow today. Well, now Jesus has come to Jerusalem for the last time in the Gospel of Mark. And he's being challenged by all the religious authorities. First, his authority is challenged by the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, you know, those experts in the law, supposedly. And he frustrates them by saying, as they question his authority, "I'll answer your question, but you answer me this. Was John's baptism from heaven or from men?" And they couldn't answer. They're afraid to answer. So they send some Pharisees and some Herodians to try to trap Jesus. And remember, they bring to him a coin, or he asks them to bring a coin. I'll use this one. And he says, "Whose image is on the front of that coin?" He said, "Caesar's." He says, well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. What is the widow rendering today? That which is Caesar's or that which is God's? Well, then the Sadducees come up to him, those people who don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they try to trap Jesus. They ask him about a woman who's been widowed 7 times. They say to him, in the resurrection, whose husband will she be? And Jesus says, well, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, is the God of the living, not of the dead. So you don't understand what you're talking about. Okay. And then a very interesting thing happens just before this text today. One of the scribes, one of those respected religious leaders of the day, well, he's among those who come up and try to test Jesus. But this one asks a really smart question. He says, Jesus, teacher, which of the commandments is the greatest? Which of the commandments is the greatest? Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in these 2 short sentences, Jesus sums up all of the law, all of the law of Moses. And you know what the scribe replies? This smart scribe, he says, teacher, you're right. Guess what? Jesus is right about that. He usually is. He always is. What does Jesus say to him? You are not far from the kingdom of God. Not far. In fact, the kingdom of God standing right in front of him. That's the only part that he doesn't get. You see, Jesus shows the scribes, those ones who are supposedly the learned religious leaders, they can't explain everything in the law. They can't explain what David said when he said, the Lord is my Lord. That brings us to the text today. Jesus is in the temple teaching. He warns about the scribes, those religious experts. He says, those who like to walk around in long robes. Guess what? I'm not wearing my robe today. They like greetings in the marketplaces. They like to be admired. They like to have the best seats in the synagogue. The best seats at the church potluck. And they are the ones who devour widows' houses, make a pretense of those long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Is this a warning for clergy? Maybe. Then Jesus goes and sits down opposite the treasury, the place where the people come to place their offerings for the building of the temple and its upkeep. It costs a lot to build this temple. I don't know if you've heard about Herod's temple. It's the tallest structure in all of Israel. In fact, it's probably the biggest thing this side of the pyramids. And each building stone is larger than a camel. Remember the camel that went through the eye of the needle? And the outside of it is overlaid with gold and fine artistic finery. The best that money can buy. They've been building it for the last 50 years or so, just in time for Jesus. And they're not quite finished yet. They still have some work on the outer courtyard to go for another 30 years or so. It costs a lot to build a place like this. Plus, there's all the chief priests there, and the regular priests, and the scribes, and the guards, and the workmen, and the servants. They all got to get paid too. Where does that come from? It costs a lot of money to run this place. And there they are. The doers and the shakers, yeah, you know who they are. They're the ones who are there ponying up their cash. And guess what? People respect them for it. People admire them. That's why they're greeted in the marketplaces. Money talks. So along comes this poor widow. I guess maybe it's obvious that she's poor. Perhaps her thin fingers betray how little she's had to eat. Maybe the patches on her clothes have patches on them. Maybe you can tell from her rumpled look and the street grime that is on her that her house has been foreclosed by those who devour widows' houses. This poor woman, this poor widow, throws in these two small Jewish copper coins. The coin itself is called a lepton. And each lepton is worth only half of even the smallest Roman coins. Remember that denarius that Jesus was holding with the image of Caesar on it? A denarius was a day's wage. Well, the exchange rate between the lepton and the denarius was 128 to 1. You needed 128 leptons to get one denarius, one day's wage. And that's before the money changer's fee. Well, she throws her last two lepta into the temple treasury. What difference will it make? What difference will it make? Not much to the temple treasury. Maybe, just maybe, it's enough to pay the money counter, the guy who separates the lepta from the shekels. Barely, if he works fast. The way I calculate it, maybe about 6 minutes of labor. That's what she's giving. What difference will that make? What difference does it make? Jesus sees a difference. He sees the difference between those who are contributing a little out of their abundance and this poor widow who's contributing all she has out of her need. He sees the contrast, and I suspect you do too, between those who are rich and admired and those who are poor and helpless, yet generous with what they have, who give out of poverty and who place their trust in the Lord. What's the difference? Jesus sees the superficial trappings of status. He sees through that. He sees beyond superficial things like whether you wear a long robe or not, whether you have long prayers or not, whether you sit in those seats of power and prestige or not. Where do you place your heart? Where do you place your trust? Do you see the difference? Jesus told the rich young ruler, the man of abundant wealth, you lack one thing. sell all you have and come and follow me. But he couldn't. But this poor widow did just that. She gave out of her lack, out of her need, out of her poverty. She gave to God what is God's. Not the coins, but her heart. Now, what would you say was her greatest worry? Money? Money for food? Money for food, like the widow of Zarephath in the Old Testament reading? That widow was at the end of her rope, too. What does this woman with two small coins do? Like the woman with the last of her flour and oil. She places it in the care of the Lord. At this point, the lowest point of her life, she gave up her last shred of hope in herself and what she had. And she gave it all to the Lord. And unlike that smart scribe who was not far from the kingdom of God, who might have said he loved the Lord his God, and who might have said he loved his neighbor as himself, she actually did it. She actually lived it. She gave all she had to live on to the place where God came to dwell with his people. She placed herself in God's care. The care of the Lord, who is a tender spot for the widow and the fatherless and the sojourner. What's the difference? The point is that God has a fundamentally different standard from our worldly standards of status. In the eyes of God, those who have status in this world don't have status. And those who don't have status in his eyes. That's how Jesus turns the world upside down. That's how Jesus turns upside down a world that's self-centered and superficial, like those scribes. So what's the answer to superficiality? Is it, don't wear long robes? Keep your prayers really short? Always sit in the back? That's just exchanging one kind of superficiality for another kind of superficiality. Is the answer, be sophisticated? Don't be superficial, be deep. Yeah, I'm going to be deep. I'm going to give you a deep sermon today. Is that the answer? Or is that just exchanging one kind of superficiality for another? What's in here? The answer to superficiality is to be faithful. Be faithful. Acknowledge the one God. Love him. Acknowledge who he is. Who is Jesus Christ? My Lord and Savior. Follow him. Listen to the word of God and believe it. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which is simply this. Know who the Son of God is and what he came to do for you. Follow him by leading faithful lives, both in your own life and in the church. Yes, Jesus came and announced who he was, and he came and announced the reign and rule of God had begun. And he was crucified for it by those religious leaders. They hung a name, King of the Jews, over his head on the cross. So what's the difference? What's the difference? He gave his all for you. For you and for me. What difference do you make? That's where he went for you, to the cross. You think you have no value? What difference do you make? You make all the difference in the world to him, because he loves you so much that he does that for you. That's the value that Jesus places on you. Far more than two small coins you might throw in the offering. He did that to forgive you and me of our superficiality and our self-centeredness. So the difference is this. If you repent and believe in him, he gives you life. Eternal. And when he comes again, when Christ comes again to finish what he started, you'll see the kingdom of God. Until then, see how he rules. Look at how he rules. As a poor widow puts two small copper coins into the offering. That's how he rules today. That's how he rules in your life. When you place your trust in God alone. Now may God grant to us that we would believe and live like that today and in the day when he returns. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand for prayer. We pray today for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our daily bread and for sustaining our mortal bodies with all that we need. Grant us grateful hearts to receive your gifts with thanksgiving, and grant us wisdom to use them well. Lord, in your mercy, give us generous hearts, O Lord, that we may care faithfully for those within our households, for our fellow Christians in need, and for all the poor all around us. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for the blessings of this nation and for the heritage of freedom that has been defended by our veterans. Guide our president, our Congress, our governor and legislature, and all our newly elected leaders, that they may serve with integrity and faithfully fulfill the sacred trust with which you hold them accountable. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for comfort in the midst of our afflictions, for healing in illness, for hope in loss, and for peace in dying. We commend to you today, especially your servants that we now name aloud or in our hearts. Mike, Rachel, Joyce. Give us faith under trial, hope in our pain, comfort in our sorrow, and grace sufficient for all our needs according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially the family of Serge Côté. Help them to look to you in their time of sorrow as we look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life eternal that you promise to those who die in faith. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O God, for those who mirror your own generosity, who trust in your mercy, and who give without fear. Open our hearts to the holy joy of giving, that we may bring to you our tithes and offerings with a faithful, generous, and grateful heart, just as the widow who gave all she had. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for this congregation, for those who gather today around your word and table. Restore those who have fallen away and heal every division. Unite us in faith and in your service. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Hear and grant our petitions according to your gracious will and your endless wisdom. Withhold from us all things harmful, and make all things work together for our good, just as you have promised. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, dear Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.